Thank you so much, Asaf, for inviting me in order to give you my voice. And thank you so much for this invitation. I'm so happy to be with you here. My name is Dima Taya. I'm a young Israeli Arab Muslim woman. Who is climbing the ladder to success within my country, Israel. I came from nothing, but I worked very hard to achieve what I have. I came here to defend my country, Israel, that I'm so proud of it, and to bring the truth about my country to the world. I want to reach out to my brothers and sisters in the Arab sector to achieve them a better place and to bring them better. As you said, I studied in Britain, I worked for the police and in the parliament, we called it the Knesset. I worked in the Ministry of Communication, and there's the place where I spread my message about Israel throughout the world. Like everyone else, I'm very much a collection of my experience. That is who I am. If I want to tell you why I write my book, I want people in America and Europe to hear a different voice, a voice of someone who lives in Israel, who is Arab, and who is a Muslim, and who is not afraid to speak the truth. And as all of us know, to speak the truth is not an easy thing to do. You should have some challenges in the road. And this is what motivates me to do that. If you want to know more, we have lots of issues about the things that I fight for to bring my Arab sector in a better future. I'm fighting those who hate Israel, to talk about the BDS, to talk about the future economic side. And but I will start maybe to tell you why I started my book with my story life. So I did that with a new hope by describing my life, because I wanted to show the world that no one's past should keep them from achieving something valuable with their life. No matter what difficulties that they face, they have to be strong and not afraid to do from those difficulties success. So I realized that in a stress you have to fight to a better place and to prepare for this challenge in a motivate way. I have to tell you a little bit about Israeli Arabs who want to achieve a better life for Arabs, and that it's an important mission and issue. So I will start by saying there are always forces for good and forces for evil, and you have to choose between this and that. So support those who fight for good. If you ignore us, you will lose our voices and you will face bigger problem later. The Arab sector is not ready to accept an Arab woman who says Israel is your home and you should link your hands with your Jewish neighbor and live side by side. That is true, but I also receive lots of support from Muslims throughout the world, so all is not lost. Some organizations, such as the Palestinian Authority, are motivated to incite violence and spread hatred. That is how they stay in power. Later, maybe I can tell you more about that. So with these 20 minutes, I'm trying to catch a little bit from everything. It's impossible, but we will try to do that. I want to tell you, you know, or to answer some questions that people ask me, like, do you reach out to the Arabs in other nations? So I speak with people in the Palestinian Authority territories in Saudi Arabia and across the Europe. When I visit Toledo, Spain, the last December, in a very amazing delegation, I learned that under Islam, before 600 years, people live by justice, and the Islam controls the Christians and the Jews. They live side by side. And people of all faiths get along and lived happily. But today, with the radical Islam, the biggest threat not just to Christians and Jews, but to Muslims as well. So Arab countries have lots of wealth from natural resources, wealth, but unfortunately they are divided and everyone against each other. So they are vulnerable to the threat of the radical Islam. Muslims are just as smart as Jews, but Muslims tear each other apart so they don't reach their potential. I also, I'm talking also about the Arab Muslim members of the parliament in Israel, and about, I can show from here the democracy in Israel and how this country respects the minorities. And actually, I can tell you from here till tomorrow how much Israel open the doors in front of everybody who want to success. So we have students, we have judgments, we have members of Knesset, we have teachers, doctors, professors, businessmen, businesswomen. Everyone can involve if you want really to success. But if the purpose to destroy Israel, so for sure this will not happen, because you have to respect the country who respect you back. And I always say homeland is not that place you born in. Homeland is the place you have dignity, freedom, and respect. So where in the world can find a parliament member who want to destroy that very society that pays their salaries and gives chance to do something important? Instead, they use the power to wrap the minds of Arab citizens against the country that gives them so much opportunity. This is why I ran for the Knesset on the Likud party. I don't think about politics. I think about hope, about change, about values, about justice. So when I speak in other countries, I hear so much hatred directed to Israel, but they want to hear a voice like mine, because as an Arab, my words are more believed. So help me to reach out to the world. My book is a start, but invite me to speak in your country so I can bring the passion of my voice to your people. If you want Asaf to talk about something specifically, like if you want to give me a direction, because I have lots of things to say, so if you want to hear something specifically, you can ask. But at the end, I want to tell you, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate you all for taking the time to listen to what I have to say. I can use your help, first of all, buy my book, read it, and recommend it to others. Give it 5-star rating and write your comments. I wrote the book to influence the world, but unless people learn about the book, I won't have much of an influence. Second, invite me to speak at your universities, cities, and church synagogues, at your meetings. We can change the narrative away from people like Linda Sarsour and the Congresswoman Talib or Omar, who spread hate and lies and who don't offer a path to peace, safety, and prosperity for the Palestinians. Invite me to speak so I can tell the world the truth. Thank you again. Go in peace. And I'm waiting for your questions and topics that really important you to hear from me.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments and sharing. We apologize for some of the technical issues that we're hearing. Maybe the audio is a bit. Alex, maybe you should jump in. I'm hearing echo on my end.
Hi, this is Alex Jaffe. Asaf, I hope that my audio is a little bit better than Asaf's is. So we apologize for these technical issues that we have. I think my question for Dima is very simple. What are the real attitudes towards boycotts of Israel among, first of all, Israeli Arabs, and second of all, within the Palestinian Authority? We know that the Palestinian Authority itself has a very strong opinion. But what about within the population?
Abnat Asaf, do you hear me?
I hear you.
Because I didn't hear nothing.
Ah, okay. So do you hear me now?
Yes, good.
Okay, so I'll ask my question again. What is the attitude first among Israeli Arabs towards the idea of boycotting Israel, and second, among the Palestinian population? We know that the Palestinian Authority is very much in favor, but it's very difficult to understand what the attitudes really are among the population. So can you help us with that?
Okay. I will tell you, this is a very great question. Although I didn't hear everything, but I know that he is asking about BDS and the Palestinian Authority and what is the attitude from the Arab Israelis from the boycott, right?
Right.
Okay. First of all, I don't believe that the BDS... the boycott, divestment, and sanctions is very dangerous. I believe is very dangerous for the Palestinians, first of all, than anyone else. And I will tell you a simple reason for that. Every so often, a company comes along that flips an entire industry on its head. This has happened in Israel with SodaStream, when this factory, SodaStream, exploded across the international scene, swapping refillable bottles and supermarkets, office supplies, and large box stores across the world. So everything about the product, from its sleek design to the easy reducing sugar in our diets to impact the environment, promised a better future, one of the health people living in a healthier planet. SodaStream, because I will make it more shorter. SodaStream was closed. It was in Mishura Domim in Israel, and there had been work there, 500 Palestinians. And because, and thank for the BDS achievement, they closed the factory. Then those 500 Palestinians sent home without nothing. So the place that was protecting the workers there, and they were Palestinians, and giving them their salary and protect their families from this work, because of the BDS, they don't have any work, unfortunately, and they are home. And what I'm trying to say, that the BDS is very dangerous for the Palestinians, because, and I will tell you an example. I have visited the West Bank, the Shomron, where there are Jewish settlements near the Palestinian people. And I have been physically inside factories there, that 99% of the employees there, they are Palestinians. And I ask them in Arabic, I ask them, what are you doing here? And they told me, they are working, they are opening families, they are protecting these factories in Israel, giving them the opportunity for better economic for them. And I ask them, do they give you by the law, they pay for you by the law? And they say yes. And they surprised me to say that they are Israel pay for the Palestinians double three than they will have if they will work under the Palestinian Authority. So when the BDS is fighting, it's fighting in order to take money from Europe and USA for themselves. But on the other hand, it make it worse for the Palestinians who are working on those factories and raising their families. And if the same person will work under the Palestinian Authority, he will have 500 shekel a month. But when he works under the Israelis with the Jewish community in the factories in the West Bank, so they will have 6,000 shekel a month. You see that difference between this and that? And they have everything by the law, and they have insurance and everything like me as an Israeli if I want to work in anywhere. So the boycott, divestment and sanctions, SodaStream came under fire for operating a production facility in Mishora Domim in the West Bank, and eventually when it closed, it hurt these workers. I was very happy to be there and to see those Palestinians working, and I asked them, what do you think? Is it good that Israel opened for you the door in order to work in these factories and raise your families and protect your future? So they say, yes, sure. It's very important to have this cooperation, and because it makes the economics much stronger between, and it's a win-win side for Israel and for the Palestinians. So this is also a proof that Israel is not apartheid. Israel is opening the doors for everyone, and Israel want to cooperate and to bring more workers. And I will tell you another thing. In Hadassah, the hospital that all of you know in Jerusalem, there are doctors and professors who are working inside, and they bring them from the West Bank. They are not Israelis, they are Palestinians, and they are in a very high rank in this hospital. Is there another part of the question?
Well, I think my question is, what are the attitudes within the Palestinian Authority towards the BDS? We know that the government, the Palestinian government, is very much in favor, but what about the people in the streets?
So if I will talk about the Palestinian Authority, Abu Mazen, for sure he's doing a damage for his people, his nation. The Palestinian Authority encouraged the BDS because they want to make them victims in order to have money from everyone in the world. But the nation, the people that living in under, they are really poor because no one is taking care of them. No one is giving them the economic direction that they need. And this is a problem because I am, as an Israeli citizen, I do care for them. And because of this, I'm fighting the BDS. The BDS is dangerous for the Palestinians more than anybody else. And the Palestinian Authority is spreading inside and hate for Israel. And I will tell you one information. The Palestinian guy who was working on this factory, he told me that Abu Mazen told them, if anybody sell a producer or a product of Israel in their shops, he will be in jail for 5 years. So this is a dictator government who control the nation, who have nothing to do. On the other hand, Israel is trying to engage them, to cooperate them in the economics, so it will make them more stronger, and it will make the statements in the WSPAC more stronger. And I always say in my speech, if you support BDS, you are either a racist or a useful idiot. Either way, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you help the people who are voting for the BDS in your parliaments and Congress, then you are a guilty as those who blow up our buses, bomb our schools, and stab strangers to death because you are welcoming audience. You are following up after the terrorists. Everyone who is support BDS, he support terror, for sure. And if you will have a look at the attitude from the Israel side, I can say that there is no political solution. No matter how many concessions Israel make, it will never be enough. The BDS chant is not about businesses employing Palestinians. The chant goes from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. So make no mistake, the goal of BDS is the eradication of Israel and the elimination of all its inhabitants. It has nothing to do with labeling goods, settlements, the West Bank, or the war in 1967. And once BDS accomplishes the goals with support of the Western Dernisters, the BDS leaders will attend schools in Oxford or live in penthouse apartments in Qatar, leaving the rest of the Palestinians to sort out whether they will be exploited by Hamas or by Fatah until they are destroyed in the crossfire, unfortunately.
Alex, can you hear me? You good?
Yes.
Right, let me try to ask a few questions. You know, there are a few questions listed by our audiences, and so I hope that the audio is getting a little bit better, and I'll try to read them. Also, if you have a question, as I mentioned earlier on, you can raise your hand, and I'll try to unmute you. I know we have a question from our friend, Ken Moskowitz. Let me see if I can unmute Ken. Again, I apologize for any technical issues today. Bear with us. Ken, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you. Dima, traditionally the Israeli Arabs have voted for the joint list, which has had members of the Knesset that oppose the existence of Israel. I am curious, as a member of Likud, how the Israeli Arab street has reacted to a woman of Likud who supports Israel.
Saf, can you please, because I'm not hearing.
Yeah, I'll try to repeat it. Okay, again, I apologize. I'm going to mute Ken. The Ken's question related to the fact, how is the attitude from individuals like yourself versus people in the Arab joint list, who some of the members question Israel's right to exist?
How what? Sorry.
The attitude of the Arab joint list. People, members of Knesset in the Arab joint list, who have different views than yours.
Is there a way to write for me the question? Because really the voice is unclear.
Okay, sorry about that. Alex, are you able to repeat my question?
I'll try and repeat it. Maybe you can hear me better, Dima. And again, we apologize to everyone for these technical issues. The question has to do with attitudes on the part of the Arab joint list towards your being part of the Likud. How do other Arab politicians in Israel feel about you?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Also, it's a great question, and I should answer it widely. First of all, First of all, the Arab member of Knesset, they are spreading gaps between the Arab sector and the Israeli Jewish community. This is what 15, 16, 17 members of Arab of Knesset are doing on the Israeli parliament behind the name of democracy. Behind the name of democracy, they are spreading hate for Israel, inside Israel and outside Israel. They are fighting for the Palestinian Authority. They are promoting their agenda, and they make damage inside our Arab sector. They are, for more than 20, 25 years in the parliament, but for the Arab Israeli citizens, doing nothing. And I didn't see in any parliament in the world people who are sitting on the same parliament and they want to destroy the same country. So they have to be ashamed from themselves. Me as an Arab Israeli citizen, they don't do for me anything. Do you know who protecting my rights? The Israeli government protecting my rights, our rights as an Arab sector. And I want to tell you, before 2 years, before my delegation to the USA, an TV station sits in Israel, in Nazareth, in the north. This TV station called me and they say, Dima, we want to hear about the democracy that you are talking about. We know that you are going to USA, to delegation. We are proud to invite you. I say, sure, yes. I went there 2 days before my flight. And when I get inside, I was surprised with the Palestinian flags. I say, what? I go to ask about this station. After that, I realized that this station funded by the Palestinian Authority. And they lied on the phone that they support Israel. And they are sitting inside Israel. So I continued this interview and he said, I'm from the Mossad and I am going to make Israel beautiful. And the Mossad bring me in order to fly and to speak and all of these lies. I told him to the person who make with me the interview, Israel is not apartheid and everyone is saying Israel is apartheid. He have to be ashamed from himself. And if Israel let you the permission in order to talk against Israel and you are sitting inside Israel, so this is democracy, because in a dictator city country, they will shoot you. So we are not South Africa. Then from this interview, and this is very important what I'm telling you, from this interview, the same TV station did against me hate and incitement and a terror, internet terror on all of the social media. And they washed the mind for the Arab sector. And because we don't know to listen to each other and to understand, so the Arab sector think I'm from the Mossad. So they think because I'm a woman, and because I'm alone, they thought they can break me down, but they didn't. They give me more motivation to be strong enough in order to speak the truth about my country, Israel. By the way, you can see this interview because Benjamin Netanyahu, our prime minister, he shared it and he asked to share it and to support me. And 5 million people or more saw this interview and were very proud of it and really support me from the Israeli side. So what I want to tell you that There are some organizations from the Palestinian Authority who are trying to shut down every person who is have that brave enough to speak the truth. After this interview, I went to the USA. I did a great delegation there. When I came back, the whole world was up and down because the Arab sector was against me and some of them was supporting me. And the Israeli community asked me to run for the parliament, for the Knesset. And so I did. I chose to run for the parliament because the people asked me to do that. And I did a great job with 2 months. I did a great job in the square that I ran inside. People vote for me because I was every time, you know, speaking the truth about Israel and how I want to make my Arab sector more closer and cooperated with the Jewish sector. What the Arab members of Knesset don't do this. I want to bring the gaps closer, but the Arab member of Knesset, unfortunately, they make it wider and they put the hate inside the generation in order to raise up a generation who want to destroy Israel. I want to raise up a generation who is respecting his country and want to improve his country and support his country and live side by side. This is the difference between me and between them. And I believe that with my achievements, as possible as I can do, because I'm an individual voice, that I'm doing this from myself, I'm going to delegations to speak the truth and to bring the voice that the people really want to hear. I believe that one day I and with you, we can bring the change, because it's all about hope and it's all about believing with the truth.
Great. Let me ask you a follow-up question that someone sent in. And it's a very simple question. Why the Likud party for you?
Why the Likud party?
Yes.
Why what?
Why have you joined the Likud party?
Okay. So first of all, the Likud party is a liberal, social party who accept every religion, everyone to join it. And the Likud party is democracy party because they are doing primaries. Primaries mean an election, pro-election before the election for all of the parties. So the people who are from the Likud goes and vote from the list to who they want to see on the list of the Likud on the formal election. And this is for one reason. For the second reason, I believe that if I want to do a change, first of all, I have my ideology is that I'm supporting Israel. And the Likud party is very strong because it's the first party on the history that had a peace achievement, and they are strong in the economy. They are trying to bring the capitalist economy and not the socialist economy. They believe in a free market. They believe of lots of agenda that really clear with me. But the main important thing that me as a woman, I did a history because never ever any woman, Arab Muslim woman, ran in the Likud party. And they accept me as a woman, as a Muslim, as an Arab. They accept me in order to run inside it. On the same, on the another hand, I want to tell that I'm asking the government to support voices and people who support Israel. It's very important. I know that in politics there is interests, but I believe the interest of the main interest is Israel. How the people all around the world can see Israel. Because when I go to Apartheid Week in Ireland, or I go to speak in Europe, I really see the disinformation and the hate for Israel, because they don't know anything about Israel. The government should support voices like me in order to be in a place who can make a change, such as the parliament. And when the government support me, I can support my sector, and my sector can improve and grow up in a good way. I believe from all of the parties, the Likud by Benjamin Netanyahu was the best party in order to make the influence and the impact in this strong party.
Okay. Thank you. Let me go on to some other questions. You mentioned going to Europe and speaking to people there. What do you think the most important thing would be, the most important message is to tell Europeans specifically about Israel, about the conflict, about Palestinians, and so on?
Simply, I want to tell, also I told them that my message is not to fight a country who is the only democracy country in the Middle East, not to fight a country who is strong, who support the minorities and respect them and giving them freedom. Don't fight a strong country who is respecting human rights and giving whatever it can for its people. If you want to fight, go and fight those who are dictators, who are the Arab Islamic countries, who kills its nations. Who, you have to fight them for being good, but you can't fight the good country for being good and making good things. You can't support financially the organizations such as BDS and such as UNRWA, lots of organizations that they are working against Israel. You can't support them financially because you will make the mission much stronger. I ask them to understand that in Israel, Israel have lots of enemies anywhere, but Israel is very strong, and Israel is accept everything. Israel very strong in economic, in high tech, in education, in the military, and it brings really good things to the world and good opportunities to the minorities and a perfect generation in this country. And I was wishing for the neighbors of Israel and for the also for the Arab countries, such as a democracy country like Israel, because we will really, really open our eyes and see how the Arab minorities living inside Israel and how the Arabs living in their countries, we can see a huge, huge difference. And you know what? I meet lots of immigrations from Arab countries to Europe and to USA and also in England. And they told me that those countries respect us more than our countries. So we have to really look at the facts. We have to support Israel for being benefit and democracy for its citizens. And we have to support those who are really, really speaking the truth about Israel and giving the information to the people who don't know anything outside. I have been in Paris the last year, and really, I was, you know, shocked with the information that they don't know how many members of Knesset we have. They don't know how the democracy goes in Israel, how the elections works. They have no information about anything, but at the same time, they are against Israel. So we are trying everywhere in the world to bring the light to the darkness, to bring hope, and to bring the fact and the truth, and not to be afraid of talking the truth, not to be afraid of being motivated and have ambition to success, and to protect your country when you are believing in your country.
So let me go on to a related question. And that is, what is the best way to change attitudes among young Muslims inside the Palestinian Authority and around the Arab world?
What is, sorry, the voice is not clear.
What is the best way to change attitudes about Israel inside the Palestinian Authority?
Inside the Palestinian, wow. You know, there's no democracy there. And Mahmoud Abbas is sitting there for years and years and years. No election, nothing. So I believe the first thing they have to change the way of the of this presidential dictatory way. They have to choose a person who really care for them and not care for himself. Mahmoud Abbas is a very rich man. He has an airport, but his nation don't have a right to fly. They are flying from West Bank to Jordan, and from Jordan to anywhere else. And by the way, the Arab countries don't respect the Palestinian ID or passport. And this is from people who told me that. The first thing, they have to choose a leader. They have to do something in order to change this way and to choose a leader who really care for themselves. The second thing, Israel went out of Gaza in 2005, and from that, no occupation there. Who occupied Gaza is Hamas and Fatah, and they have to finish Hamas and Fatah. They don't have to control with these people, because the people want to live, but Hamas is a terror organization, and they make it very hard for the people there, and they want to destroy Israel, but also they are destroying their nation, their people. So this is very complicated. But also, I recommend you and suggest to read the book, because I talked about that on my book very, very widely. You see, they are acting like a mafia. The Palestinian Authority, they're acting like a mafia. They have their organization that's working very hard against Israel. They have their people. But if they hear somebody who really support Israel, or somebody who dare to talk the truth, they will try to do terror against him if he is living outside of the West Bank. And people who dare to talk inside the under the Palestinian Authority, they will kill him. This is the way of how, unfortunately, Mahmoud Abbas and the terror organization behaving with their nature. They are giving $300 or $100 to people, Palestinians. Hamas give people who are Palestinians money in order to stand in the borders and to bomb themselves, or to do something to the Israeli soldiers. You know what? So lots of things should be done, but at least at this point, we have to relieve the facts. You know, we have to really, because I know a lot of information about how they are behaving and lots of really, really hard information about how they are acting. And when we have that opportunity and when we have the chance to relieve that and to talk, to reveal that, sorry, and to talk about that to the world, so the world maybe one day will understand how much dangerous they are. And they are using their people for their purposes. They are using their nation for their purposes. It's easy for them to be victims and to take money from all of the world and their leaders to be happy in Qatar and here and there, and the nation is starving. So peace starts from us. We have to change, first of all, ourselves and to put hand in hand in order to ask for peace. And I told, and this is the last thing I want to say, I told them, this is what happened maybe when the Palestinian Authority and Hamas and Fatah will agree for something to agree, because they agree not to agree. Every one of them against each other. Every one of them is dividing. Abu Mazen fight Hamas, Hamas fight Fatah, Fatah fight Abu Mazen. You see, this is a circle. They agree not to agree. This is the problem. When they agree for something, our government is more than happy to sit on the same table. If they admit of Israel as a democracy and Jewish country, our government more than happy to sit on the table for peace, but they don't. And the lies they are telling to the world, me, and more like me are here in order to reveal them.
So how do we change the Palestinian Authority?
How what?
How do we change the Palestinian Authority?
So, you know, first of all, this question, it's have two parts. A political part and another part that is related to the people. I believe if the people one day will wake up and not be afraid of their creators, they can go to the roads. They can go to the roads. You know, Abu Mazen don't tell us how many Palestinians living under them. He don't say how much. So maybe there are 3 million, 4 million. They have to go to the roads and to do a revolution. This is a simple thing to do. On the other hand, when we have agreement or any dialogue with, for example, President Trump or any another important president who is seeking in order to make to solve this problem out, they have to put a decision on the table to make some change. And the first change is to change the head. When the head is bad, all of the body will be bad.
When do you think that might happen?
You know, Asaf, I'm not from God. I don't know when will this happen. But, you know, sometimes there is a statement say when it's harder and difficult, it's possible to happen. So this nation who are living under the Palestinian Authority, how many times they can really be passionate? How many times? How many years? So this is one reason. The second reason, they don't want to change. They don't want to change. And who are they? Also the Palestinians. The Palestinians have to understand that if they want to live in peace, if they want to take care of their families, such as the factories of Israel that giving them work, they will understand that a democracy country is better for them than a dictator and a Palestinian Authority under Abu Mazen. When they will understand that there's no reason for destroying Israel, because Israel, This is the land of the Jewish, and this is the place they were living, who are living. Then with this informations, when they put in their heads this information, they will act change. But what happened there? Simply, you are giving a medicine to somebody in order to shut him down. And this is what the Arab leaders are doing. They're giving their nation a medicine in order to put them in dreams and to make them sleep. Okay? This is what I'm saying. We need to do something. From my part, I do my, I reveal the facts. I reveal as much as I can the truth about Israel and what the Arab countries and the Arab sector and the Palestinians need from the part of the leaders who are really change our day life. They have to really take it serious and start to do a change, because Abu Mazen is just a big lie for his nation, and this is a shameable, unfortunately, for all of their destiny there.
Okay, thank you. I think maybe that's a good place to end our conversation for today. We all agree that that change is very much needed, and we appreciate very much your contribution to bringing it closer for Israelis and for Palestinians alike. And so we appreciate we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. We apologize again for some of the technical issues. Let me remind everyone that next week we'll be talking to our friend Tony Badran of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies about the situation in Lebanon. And that will be a very interesting conversation. And we encourage everyone to continue sending questions to us today for Dima, and we will, I hope, have her back soon.
Asaf, I want just to say, I wish I could see the incredible audience in front of me face to face or by the camera. I prepare myself that I can see you, the audience, because it's important for me to see you and to hear your question very good. So sorry that we don't have this opportunity, but I'm really happy to know that you are there and you are also have time to come and to hear my voice. So I want to thank you very much. I want to thank David Beryl, my best friend, who we work together on this amazing book. And thank you very much, David. I'm asking also you to really read the book. And if you need any question or anything, you have my website is www.dimataya.com. You can send me whatever you want, and you can be in touch with me. And I want really to thank you, Asaf, for this opportunity in order to invite me also for this important voice, because it's important for me that Americans and Europe will hear a voice from a different voice, Arab and Muslim and woman Israeli who support Israel and not afraid to say the truth about her country. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you again. And thank you to everyone who joined us on the computer and on the phone. And we look forward to speaking with you all again.